Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Play clock down to three. Gets the snap. Wants to throw. Waits. Delivers in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Penn State. Brandon Felder.
To the 30, to the 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown. That's going to be Alex Bruner off the left side, and he'll go the distance from 39 yards out.
Back goes Hackenberg, sets, good pocket, rolls far side, fires, downfield, caught, touchdown. Penn State, Brandon Felder on a back shoulder throw.
Here's the handoff, Pepper right side, into the end zone. He deserves the touchdown after finishing off the drive and setting it up with a 53-yard run moments ago.
Back goes Hackenberg on a straight drop. He sets, he fires in the end zone. James is there, touchdown, Penn State.
Taking it at the 25-yard line to the 30. Coming up the middle of the field is Schaefer. Schaefer's off to the races. They're not going to get him. 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Shikalemi.
Delivers it long and deep downfield for Robinson. Leaps high in the air. He's got it. Inside the five at the pylon. It's at the one-yard line with 27 seconds to go. Half yard away, 27 seconds. Hackenberg's under center. Quarterback sneak right side. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions are an extra point away from a tie.
It's end zone or nothing. Kemberling with the rollout to the near side to the five. Touchdown, Shikalemi. Kemberling races off the right side.
Gilio waits for the snap. Snaps right there. Kick by Gibbons is up, and the kick is blocked. It is blocked. And Penn State lives another overtime.
Snaps high, sets down. The kick is up. It is high enough, long enough, it is good. Burke hits it from 27 yards out, right down the middle.
Belt, left side. Belt to the near side. Touchdown, Penn State. The Nittany Lions win it in overtime and knock Michigan from the ranks of the unbeaten. They storm off the bench into the near corner of the end zone. 107,884. Love it. And on homecoming, the Nittany Lions deliver drama.
A big weekend of sports here on WKOK with the Shikalemi win over Jersey Shore in our Monday montage. And, of course, the big Penn State quad overtime win. I usually call the bonus round, but that would be four bonus rounds. That's a lot of bonus rounds, Bob Buehner. That was a lot of bonus rounds.
A lot of time spent in those last four overtimes, because the one thing we know about overtime is the game clock is off. It's at 0:00, so you just have the play clock going and nothing else. And those four overtimes, I never thought I could hold my breath that long.
Well, you know, what's funny is that the college sets it up so that in the four overtime, or after the double overtime, you actually have to go for two if you score a touchdown. That really didn't come into play in this particular game, did it?
Nobody got a chance to score a touchdown. You know, going back to the Bill O'Brien call, fourth and one in the fourth overtime from right around the 15-yard line, they needed a half yard to go. And the question is, do you kick the field goal, go to overtime number five, or do you just try and win it there? We know what the outcome was, but the big question that I had when Hackenberg sneaked in with 27 seconds to go is Bill going to go for two and try and win it in regulation at the student end of the stadium, or is he just going to go for the extra point and tie it and then go to overtime?
See, I think overtime has changed people's thoughts on it.
I do, too.
I think overtime has changed coaches' thoughts, because normally I would think that you would probably go for the win. But then, with overtime being available, then maybe.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people who think they know Bill O'Brien thinking, Bill's going to go for the two. So, he didn't, but he did go in overtime, and a man who made all the right calls, almost all the right calls on Saturday, Bill O'Brien, the hero of Nittany Nation. So, we had that going on all Saturday, Eagles and Steelers winning big on Sunday, First time that's happened all season. The Pennsylvania team's doing well. High school football all of Friday night with Shikellamy 29-19 over Jersey Shore. In the battle of the unbeatens, Danville was beaten out by a furious second-half comeback by the Warriors of Montoursville. And so Montoursville, top dog now. Danville suffered two losses to injuries. Their running backs, Sam Dressler, Isaiah Kroll out, but also for Montoursville, Jamie Ott, their 1,000-yard rusher, was on the sideline in crutches. So high school football, Mount Carmel, the Tornadoes win a big game on the last play of the game over their Coal Region rival, North Schuylkill. I think it was 19-13. They were down 13-12.
That game's back to being a rivalry again.
It is a rivalry. And that is the Coal Regions. You know, it's not that far from Mount Carmel down Route 61 to North Schuylkill Stadium in between Ashland and Frackville. Not that many miles away. And they really decked each other back and forth, body blows all night.
Well, Steve Jones will be checking in with us again in a few minutes. Steve on the road today taking care of a last-minute personal issue, and we'll have our thoughts and prayers with Steve and the family as he makes his way through actually this region on Interstate 80 when we checked in with him last. But again, we'll talk with him in a few minutes. He did earlier today get a chance to chat a little bit with Donnie Collins of the Scranton Times-Tribune, and we'll have that coming up in just a minute. Bob Buhner and myself, Kevin Herr, in the Sunbury Motors studio today. We call it the Sunbury Motors Studio East.
Yeah, to differentiate it from the Chateau.
From the Chateau, right. So we thank Sunbury Motors. North 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You'll find the Kia dealership and then the big auto plaza in Sunbury on 4th Street as well. And today's show is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you. Save you a few bucks as well on some high-quality insurance. Get you covered. Make sure your car is covered, your house is covered. Make sure you're covered. That's important, too. All available at Purdy Insurance, and you can get a quote online at purdyinsurance.com as well as visiting them, Market Street in Sunbury. And as I said earlier today, Steve had a chance to catch up with Donnie Collins of the Scranton Times-Tribune on Saturday night's big Penn State-Michigan win.
And Donnie Collins joins us from Scranton. And Donnie, before we get to anything else, I mean, a child turning 16, I mean, you know, I've always looked at you as being, you know, really a young guy. But then again, next to me, almost anybody is young now.
Yeah, I always look at myself as a young guy, too. But, it'll be interesting comes Wednesday when he wants to go driving around the block, and I start feeling too old to do that.
Donnie, that's why they put this six-month rule in. The six-month rule was not in order so that they're 16 and a half and have experience to drive. It's for you to work up the gumption to take them out at some point.
Yeah, and he's of my three kids, he's the most overly careful, I would say. So, it takes a lot of courage to get behind the passenger seat when someone who's never driven before isn't behind the wheel. So, yeah, if I never see any of you guys again, it's nice knowing you.
I just want to wish you all the best. I did this five times. Okay, five times. Oh. All right. And when you go from College Avenue on Brandt, it's Pike Street, called Pike Street. All right. And it's a windy road. I mean, very windy road. So as you go through the windy road, okay, I'm sitting over in the passenger seat and going, you're a little too far to the left. You're a little too far to the right. And the kids are like, oh, Dad, it's so calm, you know. And I'm over there going, I'm not really as calm as you think I am. I'm just sounding calm.
You have to act a little bit, too.
you got to act like kind of cool. Yeah, you're a little too far to the left. And then I get there, going back and forth, swaying back and forth.
My dad is still a front seat driver. Anytime he drives with me, be careful, you're going too fast. I don't even drive fast. I think it's just the fact that he drives like 15 miles per hour under the speed limit.
Brian.
It's brutal. It's like going for a Sunday cruise.
Brian, all of us, when we go with you, act like your father. All right. that should be a tip off. All right. Donnie, Saturday, what did you think as you watched this, as I referred to in the postgame show, the 4.5 hour passion play out? Mm-hmm. What did you think?
It was unbelievable. I've never seen a game quite like that one where you could really point to about 30 different things that happened and say that was a really, really big play. I didn't know. You know, usually you get a feel as the game goes along who's going to win, and I never had it. And I never had. You know, I thought, you know, you're getting to the end of the game there. You know, Michigan's got this. 50 seconds left. No timeouts. It's going to take a real miracle for Penn State to win it. And they pulled it off in a way that even I don't think miracle is the word to even describe it. It's just the Robinson catch is a play that people are going to remember 100 years from now. If you go to Penn State and watch Penn State football games and are a big fan, you're going to remember that play. And it's, you know, everything after that kind of was a blur to me because it's one of those things where you never quite wrapped your head around the fact that it happened.
It was almost like I felt there were four different times where Penn State was on the verge of losing the game. I mean, like they were to that doorstep,
times.
You know, and that's what was so amazing. And every single time, it was repelled, whether it was a missed kick, a block kick, a kick that went short. You know, it was really amazing how it played out because, you know, the emotions, I think, in the stadium of, oh, no, here it goes, brink of despair, excitement, anticipation, didn't quite happen.
What struck me about it was there's so, like, you know, it's you know, they always say baseball's a game of inches. Well, this was a game of inches. I mean, the Robinson catch, that's something that everyone's going to remember forever, like I said. But you know, if Daquan Jones doesn't stop Fitz Tucson on a third and one, For no gain in overtime, you know, maybe Michigan even gets a better field goal opportunity than the one that Gibbons missed. You know, the Mike Hall play in overtime. You know, there's a couple of big plays in there, just in the overtime it's amazing that the things that the ups and downs. And you know, I'll admit it. I had an early deadline that night, and I sent it in with a final score, you know, 34-27, whatever it was going to be,
right.
and game over. And you know, Penn State played a great game, but just couldn't quite win it at the end. But I'm not sure how they won it at the end. I wish I was a better sports writer than to say, well, I don't know how they did it. But I really I've gone back and watched the game over again. It was more exciting the second time. It was just one of those things that, you know, it defies logic.
You guys in your early deadlines, haven't you learned anything from Dewey Beats Truman? I mean, really, no.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
That's the first time I ever sent one in. The final score before the game was over. First time ever. And as soon as I sent it,
you know what, Donnie? Donnie, that's hard, though, because you're up against it. I mean, that's the thing that people don't realize. When they say, like, you have a deadline, you do have a deadline. There's a certain point your paper has to be out, so you had to produce something. How did you make up for it?
Really quickly.
Yeah.
But the other thing, I was updating my story after every overtime.
Okay.
So after every overtime, the tenor of the game changed.
Mm.
So you get your first one, when the field goal was blocked, when Bob would block the field goal. So, Penn State's got a really good shot here. And then you go to the third overtime when Robinson fumbles, and now you're writing the obituary, basically.
Right.
And then Gibbons somehow misses again. And you not only have a deadline, but you have a length limit on the story. So now it's starting to become a really, really long story. And now you're looking at it, and it's got to be organized in such a way. And Robinson's catch is now being buried a little bit in that story. So it took a lot of work just to get everything that happened organized in the way that of its importance, because I keep saying this, but it's true. There were 10 plays in that game that were just critical plays.
Right. I mean, the Robinson catch will probably be, quote, the signature play of the game. But there,
I'm not sure it was a more difficult catch than the one he made on the drive before that, though.
No. Yeah. Well, it was the same drive. The one where he toe tapped it out of bounds.
Yeah, the one on the sideline.
Yeah, which was that was important because for a couple reasons. Number one, they get a first down. Okay, it's 14 yards. They only knock 5 seconds off the play, and he's out of bounds, which means the clock has stopped. I mean, all the things that you needed on a play on a first play of a drive, you got plus time.
And they reviewed it.
Plus time to gather yourself because they reviewed it.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of things that helped out. The throw to Felder, I thought, was fabulous too.
And it's an unbelievable play by Felder, and even better throw because that, I mean, that's in traffic. And it's a catch you have to make. Again, you stop the clock. I mean, it's just that whole drive. I mean, if there's three better plays they've made all year, I don't know where they are.
No, I know I talked during the week last week, and then I talked on our pregame show about the one thing I felt Bill O'Brien in the development of the program is that it always helps if you can identify your franchise quarterback early. I think a lot of people love to have their franchise quarterback in the second year of your program. You'd love to have that. Anybody would, whether in the pros or college. Now, of course, in the end, that young man has to come through for you as your franchise quarterback. What are you seeing in his development? What did you see especially in the clutch in his development moving forward?
What strikes me most about Hackenberg is that he'll make bad mistakes and forget about them, and that's almost impossible to do for a kid that age because you see it all the time. I mean, you make a mistake and you just dwell on it and it affects you for a couple of hours, and then before you know it, the game's over. You've had a bad game. You've hurt your team. He makes a mistake, and he's right back out there. I mean, he threw a bad interception early in the game, which, you know, people thought, you know, that's a pass that he's going to get ticked off. I mean, he threw it a couple times against Indiana, and it didn't. And everyone said, you know, he keeps throwing that pass to the sideline. They're going to jump it. Better cornerback's going to pick it off. And then Michigan did it, and it didn't affect him. He kept throwing the pass. You know, he's a determined kid. He has great confidence in his arm, which he should. Because that's an NFL arm, and he has been developed. A lot of credit to O'Brien, a lot of credit to his high school coaches. He has been developed to be almost a robot out there. He keeps firing, and there's no time at any point where he's struggling to the point where you think, well, they should really probably consider putting Tyler Ferguson in just to give him a break, because there's no history behind it that says that Hackenberg is going to continue to struggle. He's a guy who forgets about it fast, and once he puts it all together with the reads and the, you know, making the throws and all that, he's going to be one of the top five quarterbacks in the country in my mind. But right now, he's getting by with just his confidence, and it's amazing to watch at times because, you know, that's a game where you look at it, you look at what Michigan has on offense, and you look at what Penn State has, and you think, wow, Penn State's just too young. Their best running back has fumbled. They're not putting them back out there. They're really relying heavily on a freshman quarterback. And they were the team that was tougher in the end.
Right. It's interesting that Michigan, when it came to running the football, relied a lot either on quarterback draws or X plays by Devin Gardner. Fitz Tucson at 27 carries for 27 yards. What did you think of Penn State's defensive front? Which is really, I think, an odd question in a 43-40 game, but what did you think about Penn State's defensive front?
Yeah, you make a great point, because I think the defense might have won the game for them. Overtime games are always, to me, about, especially in college, they're always about the front seven. The defensive front four here for Penn State in overtime, that Michigan's got the ball essentially four times in the red zone and don't score a touchdown. And what they've done defensively is they've shown, hey, look, we've got a lot of players. If you look at it, you know, Olanian had it's an unbelievable game, as the Big Ten recognized today. I thought Deion Barnes played his best game off the bench. I mean, Zettel was great. And what do those three guys all do? They all moved around. Daquan Jones even played defensive end a couple times. So they've got is a versatile front four that was able to just confuse Michigan, I think. To the point where they couldn't run their normal offense, normal running game. I don't think Fitz Tucson is a game breaker by any means, but he's better than he looked. And they tackled him. I mean, they pounded the guy. Every time he touched the ball, I think he had one carry over 7 yards maybe. It was early.
Yeah.
But every time he touched the ball, he got pounded. So they tackled well. They
they're shifting around up front. You don't know what they're going to do, and I think it threw Michigan off their game. I think they just decided at some point in the second half, look, Gardner's going to win it for us or Gardner's going to lose it, and I think a lot of that credit goes to the defensive front because they really, really sold out stopping the run.
In fact, I think the times that they went to the five-man front ended up being a really good move by John Butler. I thought that was smart all the way through.
Yeah, oh yeah. You want to do something in a game like this that a team has never seen, and that was just brilliant, I thought, by Butler, because that's something I don't remember Penn State ever doing.
Yeah.
Butler took a lot of criticism after the Indiana game, but he came up aces in this one. This was they just did so many. I mean, they dropped Alanyan in the coverage a couple times. They dropped Zettel in the coverage a couple times. I mean, the Zettel interception. There's no way Devin Gardner ever thought Anthony Zettel's going to be standing where he was.
No.
It was just such a great game plan. And, yeah, Michigan scored 40 points, but there are some extenuating circumstances there. There was the fumble they returned. There's all the points they scored in overtime. That was, overall, I think, the best defensive effort that Penn State possibly could have been expected to get.
Yeah, I mean, they gave up 21 regulation points. You could say,
yeah.
Let's see, let me think that through. They gave up the touchdown, the 6 in overtime, 27 regulation points. I mean, it's not bad, especially a team that does some of the things that they do. So, I mean,
It's an offensive game now. It's
sure is.
It's tough to stop when you're going to throw a guy like Devin Gardner, who's a really terrific playmaker, and he's going to touch the ball every down for them. I mean, they're going to score a bunch of points. That's what it's designed to do. It's the same thing with Indiana the week before. They're designed to score a bunch of points. The question is, could you all score them? This time Penn State did it. Last week they didn't.
Like having a second bye week, or, Donnie, does this team actually need to play again on Saturday?
You know, it's interesting you ask this because I thought if you asked me this last week, I'd have said, no, I don't like the second bye week. They're too close to each other. You get some rhythm going and then you have to take another week off, but I think they need this bye week now. I think it's a good week for Penn State to have one because, you know, a week ago, all the talk was about putting a game behind them. I don't know how you put this game behind you. I mean, I don't know if you ever want to. It's everybody after the game, the players, the senior guys, were talking about how this is probably the best college football game they're ever going to be a part of,
yeah.
And it's probably not debatable. It's going to take a while to come down from that emotional high, and you have to get ready to play Ohio State. You have to put that game behind you and then move on. So I think in this case, where you've got an opponent like Ohio State coming up and you have a whole week to kind of not celebrate a win but get it out of your mind and refocus on the task at hand, I think it will help Penn State.
Well, if there's anything that can bring you down from an emotional high of covering a game like that, Donnie, it's taking your son out to drive for the first time. So, please take my word, you'll be dialed in the second he gets behind the wheel.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to be focused and ready to go.
Hey, Donnie, it's an absolute pleasure. And by the way, to your son, happy birthday. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
Donnie Collins from the Scranton Times. More of the Steve Jones Show coming up after the news.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2010 Ford Escape XLT, one of the most affordable fuel-efficient SUVs, just $15,995. A one-owner, newly inspected and fully serviced 2012 Ford Focus SEL, $13,998. 2010 Dodge Nitro SE comes with warranty. Lowest price promise, $17,989. 2011 Ford F-150 XLT, an outdoorsman and contractor's choice, just $29,494. And a 2012 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter new tires, just $14,993. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones in commute today. Kevin Herr along with Bob Buhner in the Sunbury Motors Studio East. You'll find Sunbury Motors on North 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. Get a quote online, purdyinsurance.com, or see them in person. Find out what Purdy could do for you. They're on Market Street in Sunbury, again, online at purdyinsurance.com. Recovering a little bit from a big weekend of sports, including the Eagles and Steelers winning, Penn State winning as well in four overtimes in what some feel is the biggest game ever. Jason Johnson on our Facebook page said he put that as one, the Fiesta Bowl is two, and the Orange Bowl as three. That's his top three.
Hard to argue with that. I mean, I guess, as you said earlier, it's the getting caught up in the immediacy of Saturday's game. But boy, so much going on. We haven't even said there happens to be a little bit of Major League Baseball.
There is
some incredible games. I know that Steve's team, the Boston Red Sox, pulled one out, a grand slam in the eighth inning by Big Poppy, and then a ninth inning, bottom of the ninth, get it done, walk-off win, ties the series at 1-1.
And speaking of Steve, he joins us now.
Steve Jones.
Mobile.
Hey, well, I'll tell you right now, what an absolute thrill that they didn't send the pitcher to the plate and they send this Ortiz DH guy to the plate. All right, tough. Because, I mean, really, bunting with the bases loaded is bad. So
you're saying your point is proven now that the DH needs to go in the National League? Is that what you're trying to say so subtly?
No, I'm just saying I'm glad Ortiz was hitting. That's all I care about. After that, you can do whatever you want. You guys feel happy putting Cole Hamels up? Go for it. All right, so it was great to have Buhner at the post-game tailgate. We had an absolute blast after the game. the stories that we told, really.
And we remained just between us. We don't want to tell too many people. It was remarked about your calm and cool manner after that 4.5 hour journey that you took listeners all over the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and beyond. And to be as just collected and calm as you were afterwards, I'd have had to decompress for about 2 days.
Nah, I was pretty much done in the post-game show.
Yes.
There's a big surprise.
I know, you're getting angry now.
I'm not surprised when Bob said to me earlier before the show started, he goes, Steve was really calm at the tailgate. I'm like, wow, there's a shocker for you. Steve was calm 5 minutes after the broadcast ended. Who would have guessed?
Oh, yeah. So, but you know what? That's a great win for them. I think that I was not in favor of the second bye week. I didn't like the fact that they had a second bye week in here because, I mean, everybody in the conference has a second bye week. I didn't like it. Now, after seeing this and witnessing this, they need a second bye week. I think this bye week actually comes at a good time for them because I think they need to decompress, gather themselves, and then get themselves ready for, obviously, a really, really good Ohio State team. Ohio State is more talented than anybody in the conference. I think that's going to be a week from Saturday. They've got Iowa first. It's homecoming at Columbus. We always know how emotional that is in Columbus. So.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think this comes at a perfect time now because otherwise you'd be looking at it at a week where you could have big game letdown. Now, I know some people don't believe in that, but I do.
The young football team with 74 freshmen and sophomores on there, and not only that, you look at the kickoff coverage team. Kick cover team now has 7 run-ons on it. Adam Geiger's now holding because of Ryan Kaiser's hand. great to see. Having Kizer back in the lineup was a big plus for them on Saturday, by the way. A big plus. I think that meant a lot. But Adam Geiger had to hold. You got LaDonis now snapping on punts. You got Walker back returning punts. I mean, you have some of the run-ons have worked their way in to the lineup. Jesse Maurice is now down there. Chip Chippialli's now covering kicks. I mean, that's all part of it, where it's not just the veterans and the Hackenbergs and so forth. They have a lot more people contributing now, and I think they need to just fall back, go back into practice, get in a routine, and then square themselves up mentally to play a game next week at Ohio State. I think it's a break for them that they get to mentally take the weekend off.
And, you know, it's also the time of the year when there's a bye week that Steve Jones gets his house decorated for Christmas.
That's right.
Yes, this is the weekend. I have decided that, yes, we will do this 1 month out from Thanksgiving. And then we're going to have a big party, Bob. Can't wait to have you over. It'll be fabulous. We'll have a good time.
We always do.
I just want you to know this is a bye week for me because I'm not making the trip to Dartmouth this weekend with Bucknell. So this is a bye week for me. And in honor of the Steve Jones National Decorate Your House Day, I'm going to do the same.
Look, when we get to November, first of all, for me, I don't. When are they going to be able to do it? Basketball's coming up. And with basketball coming up, I'll be back to where I was in the beginning of September, doubling up when I was doubling up with baseball, football. Well, now I'll be doubling up basketball, football. So I do this not because, oh, wow, I'll be ahead of the curve. I do it because I look around and I say to myself, this is it. This is the shot I've got to do this.
But here's the big difference.
I better get it done. If I don't, then I'm going to be sitting there freezing to death on November 25th.
Here's the big difference, though. You won't turn yours on until late November, early December. I, however, probably will.
Thanksgiving night's the first night they go on. They'll just sit there idle for a while. And then, I'll have neighbors heckle me, as they always do. They're such great people.
Steve.
They'll heckle, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then... Then, of course, I, on the other hand, when they're out there with mittens on, shivering, and I can see the lights shaking as they put them on, I say nothing.
It's payback time.
Steve, a couple questions from Saturday's game. One guy we didn't see after 10 seconds of the second half was Zach Zwinak. Where is he going to be coming up in the rest of the season?
I think practice this week and next week will determine exactly what his role will be, because when he has fumbled before, he has then started the next game. But Bill O'Brien has not hesitated to start him in the next game after he has fumbled the football like that. But Bill's not going to tolerate, especially in big moments, big games, putting the ball on the ground. And Zach did that. Now, Ross made a nice play. James Ross stripped the ball from him. He's not going to tolerate that. But when he has fumbled before, Bill has put him back into the starting unit. Now let's see how this week and next week play out before they go to Ohio State.
And on the defensive side, I think the defensive coaching staff really redeemed themselves from the Indiana game by really mixing it. It seemed like Gardner, the Michigan quarterback, was confused on more than a few occasions when he came up to the line and was looking out at the defensive array.
Well, what they did was they gave them a completely different look. They took out a defensive back and they brought in the fifth defensive lineman. And when they brought in the fifth defensive lineman, that it wasn't just Gardner, but it was the offensive line as well. They kept looking out and saying, okay, well, there's five guys here in a down position, and one of them is not a linebacker. Then, of course, they started floating Alanian around, and Alanian's done a really good job as the floater. That also really fouls up a blocking scheme because they're not really sure in the end which gap he's going to come through. So I think those two things right there show the work that John Butler and the staff put in on that side of the ball to give Michigan a completely different look they had not seen from Penn State before. Mike Hall's now playing so much better. Just getting him back out there is a big plus. Now you're going to start, I think, to see Mike get some takeaways. The next part is Ryan Kizer. Getting him back was important. Then notice how they utilized Malcolm Willis. When they weren't going with a five-man front, they go with a standard four-man front with four defensive backs, but then they take Willis and they put him up as a fourth linebacker, giving Gardner a 4-4 look. And a couple of times they blitzed him, and he got close to Gardner and hit him a couple times. So those kind of looks and coming at him from every angle really helped. And Penn State's job of shutting down Fitz Toussaint with 27 carries and 27 yards, I thought was actually a big factor in the game. I find it interesting we talk about defense in a 43-40 game, but it was really important.
One of the things you mentioned last week also when we talked about after the Indiana game was Allen Robinson is always expected to carry the big burden and make the big plays, and certainly Saturday was no exception. But where was that second receiver? I think we found out who that was.
Well, Brandon Felder stepped back into the fray. He had six catches for 97 yards. Jesse James was very much an important part of what they did on Saturday, which is just a trade-off from what they'd done with Kyle Carter the week before, because Carter had a good game against Indiana. Now it's Jesse James' turn, and he was able to step in and play well. So they have a variety of weapons to go to. They still haven't really fully utilized the Geno Lewis yet. Richie Anderson's still coming on. But you have veterans like Robinson, Felder, second-year tight end in James. Carter certainly could be a guy that they're going to get a lot of positive plays out of. So as they keep going forward and Christian continues to mature, sees the field better, they expand the playbook a little bit more, you're going to see more and more positive offense out of this team like you did on Saturday.
Steve, thanks a lot for taking a few extra seconds and chatting with us again. I answered a couple of questions that have come in here on the Steve Jones Show, and you're going to be back in the Sunbury Motors studio tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that's the game plan, to be back tomorrow. I mean, after today's obvious coup d'etat failed, just the mere fact that I've now convinced you to put up your Christmas lights, you're going to turn them on, so you'll be the obnoxious one in the neighborhood.
I already was. That's nothing new in my neighborhood. So nobody's going to be looking at me crazy because they know me better than that. They know that I already am.
Well, one of these days, all three of us will do the show from the chateau. You'll enjoy it. I mean, I made a little subtle change in it this week. I moved a desk in there, which is nice, you know, just to kind of change it up a little bit. It was well done, but this is the off week, the bye week. And I'm going to take some time. I'm going to get Penn State done this week because Penn State stats aren't going to change. And I'll get a little an advance on Ohio State, even though I have an advance on Ohio State to begin with. But I'll get an advance on Ohio State. Got to make, you know, it's also basketball media week, too. They have media day coming up on Thursday. This guy, I think, is going to be a very interesting basketball season. They had the blue-white game on Saturday. The first ice hockey game, by the way, at Pagoula was a raging success. 6,370 on Friday night in an incredible atmosphere. I was in the, for the lack of a better term, the Pierre Maguire role, although I don't have quite the expertise that Pierre Maguire has.
Were you between the penalty boxes or were you in the penalty box?
No, penalty box on the opposite side. I was between the benches.
You were between the benches, okay.
Well, I was in different spots. They had me at the Zamboni entrance the first time. The second time, I was between the benches. Third time, we have an interview area that's in the runway behind the benches. The fourth time, I was in the student section. The fifth time, I was back between the benches. Sixth time, I was back at the interview area. Seventh time, between the benches. And the last time, I was on the ice with Guy Gadowski for the post-game interview.
You know, pretty soon we're just going to have to wait for the Big Ten replay. Maybe we can make a contest out of this to find Steve. Where's Steve instead of Waldo?
Well, it was interesting to be a part of and see that. The atmosphere was incredible. Penn State committed way too many penalties. They spent a lot of time killing penalties. In fact, Nate Jensen, the defenseman, scored the initial Pagoula Ice Arena goal, and he was my between period guest. You know, after I asked him about the goal, I said, Nate, you guys in the opening 20 minutes had to kill off 7 minutes and 38 seconds worth of penalties. And he said, look, he said, we've got to stop doing this. He said, we're shorthanded the entire time, which takes away their aggressiveness and kind of takes the crowd out of it a little bit as well. But they have an all-metal roof. If you recall, we had Terry Pagula on the show Friday. And once again, I forgot to ask about that Kevin Herr Human Fund donation. But when we had Terry Pegula on the show, there are several things that he wanted. He wanted a perfect training room. They've got that. He wanted that fast, lightning-quick ice. And they really put together it is a mixture that makes that happen. They have it in Buffalo. Sidney Crosby told Terry, look, he said, I don't know what you guys do here. Can you get this in Consol? It's the best ice service in the NHL. They have that in this arena at Pegula. And the other thing he wanted was he wanted the metal roof. And why did he want the metal roof? He wanted all the noise to reverberate up and down. And when that student section was filled up with 1,000 kids on Friday night, it was an unbelievable sound. And, you know, it's really, it's the right size. It has the right amenities. It's well done. You know, and I had only been in the building one other time beforehand because we did a show in there. But that's the only time I've been in there. I can tell you right now, after doing the Where's Waldo thing, utilizing stairs and all sorts of things, I already know where everything is. We're done.
And you're in really great shape now.
Actually, when I was done, because the Big Ten Network wanted me there at 6 o'clock. So, you know, I got there at 6. Well, we finished up with everything that we needed to do at 11 o'clock. But I got back to the car, and I parked just behind the Jordan Center in the basketball parking lot. I sat down in the car. I realized it was the first time I had been off my feet in 5 hours. I went, oh, wow.
Wow.
That's great.
This is comfortable.
Yeah.
All right, Steve, we'll check in with you again tomorrow. Safe travels.
Lads, be good. Bob, be good. Don't get into any troubles. Wonderful seeing you. And,
yep.
And your wonderful, wonderful wife. That was great. Loved it very much. Kevin, it was fabulous not having you there.
Yeah, I figured you would. But it was wonderful listening to you on the way home from Bucknell. The timing worked out very well.
Well, good. Hopefully we delivered something that was worthy of the game.
It wasn't bad. Thanks. Steve Jones joining us mobily today. As he will be back in the Sunbury Motors studio again tomorrow. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 of 15, Humbles Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. You can find them online as well at purdyinsurance.com. And don't forget, if you missed any of the comments, you want to hear the Monday montage again, you can go online to stevejonesshow.com and click on the podcast. We'll have that up for you in the next 5 or 10 minutes from hour number one and hour number two. Bob, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Good to see you, Kevin.
Very entertaining weekend of football. And best part is, we're barely halfway through all the seasons.
And more to come. We get to get ready for another Friday night and Saturday. Baseball, hockey, football.
Steve Jones Show back tomorrow here on WKOK News coming up next.